Did you have blues records in the house when you were growing up?
First blues I ever heard was in, was it Bessie and James P. did that Backwater Blues?
Backwater Blues.
That was first. You see, my dad worked at a furniture store, and they sold the old Victrolas and all that stuff there, and records. So one day he brought a record in, and you know, I knew they, you know, they threw, when they threw them away, you know, I knew they'd be in the truck, you know. Mm-hmm. So I always go out in the truck and look, and I saw this record. So I picked it up and brought it in there and put it on there and played it. It was James P. Johnson and I guess Mamie Smith or Bessie, whichever one it was. And by gosh, man, that knocked me out. I knew right then I liked the blues. So you see, what would happen? Well, they didn't want me playing the blues records in the house. And then if I tried to play the blues in the house, you know, well, you know, I had to stop. They had to stop. So they wouldn't let me play nothing but church songs. But the only time I got a chance to play anything different is when my grandmother would come over. She said, play me some of that other kind of stuff. And I'd go on and play it. I do that to defy my parents. You know what I mean? Kids like that, you know.
Yeah.
I said, they won't let me play it. So grandma told me I'd play it, and I'm going to go on and play it. And I'd go on and play it. Old man be reading the paper. As rule, he don't do nothing but just lower the paper and look around. But he didn't lower the paper. So I said, well, I got by with this. You know. But I knew then that I liked the blues, you know. And I was listening to the records because, you know, it talked about trouble in the lowland. It rained 4 half days and a cloud turned dark that night. And she's talking about how bad the flood was. I can't sing no more and all that stuff, you know. I could picture that as a kid, you know.
Jay, what was the first band that that you were a part of?
Well, it's a family band called the Gray Brothers. Old man Gray used to be in the school system, and he used to be old time band, you know, band, school band man. And he had two boys and two or three girls, and all of them played something. So when Christmas time would come around, you know, holidays, things, and he got jobs to play, they'd come get me to play the piano with them. And then as I left them, I played with Al Dennis' band. Al Dennis, old-timer there in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He had about 14-piece band, you know. And Al Dennis, you know, make these little towns right around close to Tulsa. So that was his second group big band I'd worked with. Big band. Well, that was the first big band I'd worked with. And then I went out west with Eddie Hill's band. See, Eddie Hill and his Bostonians. Nobody in there from Boston but Eddie. And chicks would be talking to you, you know. They'd think we was from Boston. Oh, yes, yes. Oh, yes, darling. When I was around Boston, you know, I did so-and-so, you know. All that crap. Yeah, I met one of the Bostonians last night. There's these chicks next morning, you know.
What was the first band that you put together? Was that in Kansas City?
First band I put together was in Kansas City. That was a small group that I put together. I went to work out in the plaza at Martin's 210.
What year would that be about?
Well, that had to be 1937.
Charlie Parker was a member of your band in the late 30s. Did he join around that time? Was that one of your first
bands?
Well,
when I first, he went to work with the first group I took out there. Yeah.
How old was Charlie Parker when he started playing with you?
Well, he couldn't have been no more, maybe he might have been in his teens or might have been 20. Somewhere right around then.
Was he a great player back then?
Yeah, he had it together. That's why I got him, you know, because I thought he sounded good.
Were you there when he got his nickname Bird?
Well, actually, when he actually really got it officially was the time that we were going to Lincoln, Nebraska to play you know, they had football game that day, you know, and they won the game, you know, and all that stuff, you know. You know how they played the games in those days, and they have the dance afterward. We went up there to play one of those dances. And you know, like when you go along the highway, you're going through the, out in these country, the chickens really run right alongside the highway with the cars sometimes. And so these chickens was way down there on the, you know, down that close to where the cars was. And they hit this chicken. So Bird said, "Hey, man, you hit them on them chickens back there." He says, "Stop the car. Slow down. Back up and go get that bird." So the guy did. He stopped the car and backed up and went all the way back. And Bird got out and grabbed the chicken and took the chicken into Lincolnwood. And it was those days we had to get rooms at private families, you know. So Bird went over to Miss Joseph's. As soon as he got that Miss Joseph, he asked me, "Miss Joseph, would you fix this bird? We hit this bird, yard bird coming down." She said, "Yeah, I'll fix it for you." So she did. She fixed it, and he got a room at her place, you know. Well, she fixed it, and the old bird wouldn't let nobody have none of his chicken. He said, "No, if I hadn't made y'all stop and pick it up," he said, "we wouldn't have been no chicken at all." He said, "I'm going to eat all this bird myself."
Charlie Parker is credited with co-writing two songs with you that are two of your most famous songs. He co-wrote "Cootie Blues" and "Jumpin' the Blues" with you.
Mm-hmm.
How did those songs come about? Do you remember? How did you write those songs with Charlie Parker?
Well, what we did, when he said, they said a lot of riffs. We used to set a lot of riffs, and then when he set that riff. So I said, "Look, man," I said, "listen, I said, tell you what we do." I said, "We want to finish that. Let's finish that out and just make a whole number out of that." So every time, you know, when we'd be playing something and I'd hear him set that riff, so then we did. We was in New Orleans. We was playing New Orleans. So I called a rehearsal and we got that together and set that up. And then we got together and during the same time we were doing that, we did the Hootie Blues, you know. We got Hootie Blues together. And that's how that happened. Yeah, we did that in New Orleans, Louisiana.
And who wrote the lyrics?
Walter Brown.
Yeah. Your first big hit was "Confessing the Blues."
That's right.
Did that make a big difference to you as a band leader to have a hit like that?
No, it never made any difference. Fact about it, when we went down that record, see, we had a lot of this other stuff we had in our mind to record, you know. Yardbird Suite. We didn't call it that then. We called it "What Price Love." We had that, and we had Swamatism, and you know, stuff like that. That's what we wanted to record. But the cat kept telling us. He says, "Man, listen, y'all." He says, "Y'all, I can't use that." He said, "I like it." He said, "I like it myself." He said, "But," he says, "it's too early for that." He kept telling us. He says, "It's too early." So he says, "I'll tell you what." He says, "Don't you ever do any blues or boogies?" We say, "Yeah." He said, "Do me a blues." So we just went right into "Confessing the Blues." But he was pretty slick. He was right on the controls. And he hit the controls, and we just went right straight through it and played it. And then it was a take. It was a take. So when we saw him smiling, you know, he was smiling. And the longer we played it, the more he smiled. So he says, "I tell you what," he says, "you do a boogie woogie?" Yeah, so we did Vine Street Boogie. We did that, and that was a take. So then he says, "I tell you what, do me another blues." And I think that's when we did, what was it? Hootie Blues, or either Confessing. We did that, and he said, "Do that, and I'll take one of them other tunes. Pick out one of them other tunes that you want to do." So we picked out Swamatism. And we did. So then, we didn't do anything. He said, well, I said, tell you fellas, he says, we got that over with right quick. He says, just a very few minutes. He says, we was here all the afternoon doing all this other stuff. He said, we didn't realize how easy it's going to be. He said, the session's through, we through.
Jay, when you were playing around Kansas City, mm-hmm. I guess you were playing a lot of the drinking clubs, and then you also played, I guess, the old whore houses of Kansas City, didn't you?
They call it whore houses. I know I used to play everything in them. They'd be sometimes, like in the whore house, they'd be sitting around, table over there, table over there, maybe table over there. Somebody upstairs, somebody downstairs. And you play, you just reminiscing the blues or whatever you're playing on the piano, you know. Slow blues, you know, just soft slow blues. You just fool around on it. Some cat had been listening to the blues a long time. You know? Hey, hit that blue note again. That's considered as a blue note, you know. I think that's really the reason a lot of people that like the blues, because that they assimilate those sevenths which you use with the blues. They assimilate that with as a blue note. That's, you know, telling them that they blue or they got the blues, I think. Yeah, because I've heard many old guy howl about that. Hey, hit that blue note again, man. Oh, wow. Holland says something, you know. Yeah, because they used to request all kind of numbers in Kansas City during that time. And when I come into Kansas City, that's when I found out that they used to have tunes like called old money tunes. And see, there's cats that come in there and ask for these old funny way out tunes, but he's got probably $100 bill or $50 bill in his hand. See, I remember one night some cat come in. Hey, do you guys know old Black Joe? No, I never heard of him. This guy said, man, I've been trying to get these guys to play my song all night. He said, shut damn. He says, they don't know it. These guys don't know it? No. So, somebody must have put him here. The next time he come back, he says, he says, it's too bad you guys didn't know Black Joe had a $100 bill in his hand. One of the cats snatched it out of his hand. He said, hell, why didn't you say old Black Joe? I didn't know that was what you was talking about. The shit. And grabbed $100. Say, hey, man. He said, well, what about the rest of the guys? Do they know it? He said, hell yes. Hell yeah. We'll, if they don't, we'll get it. Yeah.
They used to raid those joints on 18th and Vine.
Oh, yeah. A lot of times, a lot of joints. Well, see, well, I tell you, they did more raiding down in southern Kansas. In them little towns down through that way. See, that's the reason that's really what brought me to Kansas City. See, because, see, a lot of Kansas, we used to go all up through southern Kansas and play them gigs, because these towns that where the cats go to the wet states and get their whiskey and bring them back, then open up their clubs. See, they open up their clubs. Well, see, that made it pretty good for us. We didn't have to fight the competition in Kansas City, a place like that. We just going in there, and you know, and just play for these guys down in the smaller cities, like all across the southern part of Kansas, you know. But you see, where's what they got to be bothered with? They don't know when the old sheriff is going to decide to close them up. See, he might come down there and hit on them for some more money. He want a little more payoff. They don't pay off. Well, they might be closed up that night. See what I mean? When they get closed up, then we out of a job. That's the thing of it. When they close the club, we out of a job.
Yeah.
So I'd say, I might ask you, I said, where you going, man? So we ain't got no gig now. You might say, well, if maybe your home is in Oklahoma City, you might say, well, I'm going back to Oklahoma City, man. So I told the cat, I said, well, I got an uncle in Omaha. I think I'll go to Omaha. So on the way to Omaha, I got stopped in Kansas City. I stopped in Kansas City because the bus had to lay over about an hour and a half. So I asked the cat where the Reno Club was. He said, that's only a couple of blocks down the street. And I said, well, who's playing there? He said, Bus Moten's got the band. He says, bass is just going east. So I went on down there. And so I was running to the cats, a bunch of the guys I knew. So I walked in there. They all hollered, hey, Mac, come on back. When did you get in town? I said, I just got here. I said, I'm just changing buses. He said, no, man, come on up here. I said, listen, man, you don't want, where you going? Where you changing buses to? I said, I'm going to Omaha. He said, no, man, you stay here in Kansas City. This is where it's at. There's a lot of gigs in Kansas City. See, Kansas City, I hadn't seen nothing like this, see. See, Cass was working like, go to work at 8 o'clock, get off at 5 in the morning. 8 o'clock at night, some go to work at 9 o'clock and get off at 4. Basically, was going to work at 9, getting off about 3, I think. And there were some bands going to work at 6 to 6 in the morning. Yeah, 6 to 6, you know. 12 hours. That's see, you didn't find it in them little towns down southern part of Kansas City. Because, you know what I mean, it would be too disruptive, I guess, you know. But anyway, I got my gig, and I got a gig with old Elmer Hopkins. And that was at the Monroe Inn. That was the first gig I got in Kansas City.
Thank you.
do, 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 do